You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date. Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Welcome to the program. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host. Welcome to Hidden Places, where we're going to be mining for more treasures today. And you want to stay tuned because you want to hear how a longing to know God led my guest on a journey deep into the heart of the Father. And you'll be amazed at what she discovered. First, I want to welcome Deanne back. Good to see you, Deanne.
You too. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thanks for coming in and being my co-host. Love it. And so let me introduce my guest to you. I want to welcome my friend and mentor, Pam Cloonan.
Oh, wow.
Pam has been active in Christian ministry for over 47 years. She's taught adult and children's Sunday school. She's done children's home Bible clubs with Child Evangelism Fellowship for almost 25 years. And she's devoted to helping children find and walk towards God, as well as sharing the simplicity of God's love with everyone. She's the author of two books, the first book being Connect the Dots, which is a Bible study, and that draws a picture of the Father's heart by tying together the fundamental scriptures of our faith. And in her second book, From His Heart to Yours, you'll find how God speaks to us in a deeply personal way. Hear his words as he assures you of his presence within. She's the mother of five daughters, grandmother to 12, and great-grandmother to 1.5 great-grands. So welcome, Pam. Thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks. I just love being here.
Amen. It's good to have you here, rather than doing it by phone. Because I thought that you wouldn't want to come into the studio and that you would just want to do it by phone, but praise God, you're here.
Amen.
So welcome. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, that would take a long time.
Okay.
No, I mean realistically, because it's all the same story. What really touched me and is touching me now is that in your intro, you talked about discovering the simplicity that's in Christ. And when I was first born again and started reading the Bible, that was the first scripture the Lord ever gave me, and it was never be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's what's led my whole life, and that's why I say it's a long story, because it's just a daily living activity with the Lord Jesus and discovering his love as we go. It started, I was an at-home mother babysitting other children and my children, but I had a hunger to know if God was real. I was brought up to know God. I prayed all the time, but I reached a place where I didn't really know if he was real. And it seemed like my prayers weren't getting answered. He was distant, if he even existed. So one day my husband was home, and I asked if he would watch all the kids, but I had to go sit in church. So I went to my church, and I walked in, I sat down, and I said, God, I don't know if you're real. I want to know if you're real, but I don't want to waste any more time. So I am not leaving this church until you speak to me. and tell me who you are and if you really are there. And I sat there for 2 hours. Nothing happened. I kept waiting for an angelic visitation or lightning from heaven or somebody to come in the door and at least say, yes, he's real. And I had nothing, absolutely nothing. I said, I'm not leaving. So I stayed, I'm guessing 2 hours or longer. It was a very long time. And then I said, well, I guess he's not real. And I don't know what to do. So I got up. And thinking back, I still wonder whatever motivated that. But I went up and I lied down, face down on the center aisle of the church. And I said, okay, Lord, this is all I can do. If you're real, you have me. You can have all of me. But if you're not, I want to know. And I said, the rest is up to you. And I got up and I left. But as I walked out, I experienced a peace, not a deep peace, but just a knowing that I was going to feel peace, if that makes sense. And I went home, and about, I'm guessing, a week later, somebody gave me a book by Hal Lindsley, and it was The Liberation of Planet Earth, page 99. I think it was on the second paragraph down on the left side, where he answered all my questions. Because my biggest question was, if you're real and you really died for sin, why did you have to go to the cross? Why couldn't you just say, okay, you're forgiven, and go on with life? I don't understand why you had to suffer like that. And Hal Lindsey went on to describe how each facet of God's character is equal, and that his love is equal to his justice, and his justice is equal to his mercy. And therefore, his mercy dictated the penalty had to be paid, and then he paid it. And that absolutely changed my life, because he finished the, look at me, all these years, but he finished with the scripture from Ephesians, and it said, you know, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that too is not of yourselves, it's a free gift of God, lest any man should boast. And I said, wait a minute, what? I had never heard that before, and I was brought up in a church where I was earning my way and doing my good works and trying as hard as I could to have right standing with God. And what do you mean? It's not by my works. And I wasn't boasting about my works, and I certainly wasn't confident in my works, but free? How could nobody ever tell me? I couldn't understand that. How could I never have heard this? I was 30 years old, and I just fell apart. I said, Lord, and I honestly don't know if I said this out loud or I thought it or what, but I remember distinctly saying, empty me out of everything I have ever learned. Start me over. I don't want anything I've learned, right or wrong. Start me over, and you'll give me what's right. And just fill me up with truth. And that was the beginning. That was, I prayed the prayer. I received Jesus. I had no experience, nothing. But I decided to believe that, because now I was empty, and this was my first new truth. And I went over and I started washing the dishes, and I'm thinking about it and thinking about it, and it's just growing in me and growing in me. And then day after day, I heard more about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was a time of renewal in most churches. And I was hungry to know what that was about. So my husband and I both started going to prayer meetings and discovering the baptism in the Holy Spirit with all the gifts. And people were getting the gift of tongues, and I didn't get that. And I said, I was praying and praying, Lord, I want all you have. Just give me all you have. And I want the gift of tongues. And I didn't get it. I had a twin sister. She had gotten it. And I was saying, what's going on? Why can't I get it? And it was just so strange, because for the first time in our married life, Bob had company, and I went to bed early. And as I went to bed, I pulled the covers up over my shoulders, and I was on the way down to my pillow when I broke out with tongues for probably 2 hours. And I think it was like three different languages. It was just amazing. And that was the whole turning point. And I knew I could totally depend on God to give me the truth and to fill me. And he did. It's such a long story. I'm going to try to make it shorter. But a friend of mine, who was the only other person I knew that had been baptized in the Spirit, we decided we wanted a good prayer group. We wanted a prayer group that was based on truth. So we decided we would get together to pray for a prayer group, because we were both new, and how could we lead a prayer group? So we started just meeting the two of us. Well, we had talked to friends and whatever. So the first night, 70 people showed up at my house. And it was just an amazing thing. And our prayer group, it dwindled, and so another long story, we had to limit it. And but finally, we did that for 7 years, and we really grew and matured in that time. In that time, we all found out, like, I love the hidden places that Karen plays in this program, because we found out that we all love God. We all had gifts, and they were different, and we didn't have to be like each other. We had to learn to search our own being to find out why God made us and what he equipped us to do. And it was amazing to watch, because you could see all the different people rising up and becoming a new person and developing things and doing and saying things that we never experienced before in each other. And we became a very tightly knit group. And my gift must have been, I would guess, just hearing from God in really clear ways. And it was hard to describe, because I was never, how can I say, gifted in that way before. And one night I went to bed, and I was just really confused. I had said to the Lord, I have these great prayer times, Lord. I shut myself up, and I have these great prayer times and all that. But as soon as I come out of my prayer room, I'm down again. It's like I've lost the grace you just gave me 10 minutes ago. Why is that? I can't live in the world with that grace. And that was the night he woke me up, and he said, get your pad and a pencil and go in the living room, and I'm going to speak to you. And that's when he said, your mind has ruled you your whole life, but now you're reborn, your spirit's alive. Your mind has to learn how to be submissive to the Holy Spirit in you. So when you leave your room, the reason you go down is because you leave the spirit and enter the mind, and you go back into your worldly worries and jobs and all of those things, and you just constantly submit mind to what you've just experienced in the spirit, and so therefore the mind still is fighting to be ruler. So you have to, from this moment on, take the choice of submitting your mind. And when those negative things come, the discouragement, the unbelief, submit it to what you have just experienced in the Holy Spirit in your room. So that went on, and I learned to submit. And then he started to speak to me. After that, every night he woke me up and spoke to me and wrote it down. I've got, I don't know how many spiral notebooks I've got just filled with words from the Lord. And that went on for years. And then suddenly that faded. But it was like I was just learning to live in that. It's hard to explain. So I did. And then one day I was parked, was stopped at a red light, and this school bus passed. Excuse me. And I saw all these little faces looking out the window. And they're going to get filled with garbage. Lord, they're getting filled with lies. What can we do about this? And a friend told me about Child Evangelism Fellowship. It's not a place you go to. It's not a church you go to. It's just a method. And in Sunday school, and I've taught Sunday school for years, we tell stories to the kids and give them a memory verse, but it's never personalized.
Let's pick up on that after the break.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
My feeble life is over.
all know that that is Patsy Cline. And I understand, Pam, this is your favorite song.
Yep, it sure is.
Hallelujah. So just before the break, you started telling us about you saw the children on the bus, which led you into child evangelism.
A friend told me that, and I really didn't believe her. I just thought it was probably maybe very excellent Sunday school material or something. So, and I wasn't teaching Sunday school at that time anyway. But child evangelism is directed to unchurched children. Therefore, the gatherings and the groups or the Bible clubs, whatever you want to call them, are held in a neighborhood home by usually a Christian who's trying to reach the children in the neighborhood. And it's just the most amazing experience you can have. I know we all have our call. My call that moment became evangelizing children. I still see that little boy's face. At any rate, the difference between child evangelism and their material is that instead of just telling the story, they do indeed tell the story, of course, but they interrupt it with six different letters that will take it from a story to apply it in a personal way to pierce the heart of the child. And like, in other words, if you said, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and then you look at the child, have you ever sinned? Can you remember something that you did was wrong? How did you feel about that? And go on and explain that. And then, well, David felt the same way. So you just weave in and out of the story. But the letters they use are gospel. So every single message is going to have the message of the gospel. Like, in other words, G is God's love. O is only Jesus could die for you. S is we've all sinned. P is only his precious blood can cleanse us sin. E is, and you will have the gift of eternal life if you give your heart to him. And L, all you have to do is let him in. And it's interspersed through all the material. And that's why when I see the material, it's wonderful. And they tell the stories, but they don't personalize it. So then there's always an invitation. And then you have the child meet you in a corner, a chair, and a sign person, or you can pray all together. You do it different ways for different reasons. One quick example I'm thinking of right now was I had a Bible club in an apartment complex, and it was a poor neighborhood. And we had met for several weeks, but this one week I did what I don't ordinarily do. I did a group prayer. I wanted the kids to really make the choice to come find me and pray with them. But I was very led to do a group prayer. And so we prayed, and they all received the Lord, and I felt good about it, you know. But I wasn't sure because I don't really do group prayers a lot. And I went back the next week, and every one of those families had moved. And the kids were all, you know, displaced wherever their family moved to. And I thought that was the one chance, and Jesus always takes that chance.
Yes.
I had another boy, like the children are usually between, oh, let's say, 4 and 12, maybe. And this boy came, and it was a large place, and he came and he sat right in the center of the front row. And he was about 15 years old. And I was going through the crucifixion, and I put up the flannel figures of Jesus on the cross. And the boy was sitting, laying back, and is just twiddling his thumbs. And he looked, he goes, "Who's that?" And I said, I was so taken back. "Well, that's Jesus. Have you not heard of him?" "No, who's that? What's that?" And it just continues to break my heart, especially even these days, how little they hear and how compromised the gospel has become. And even in some Sunday schools, said to say, it's all about listening to a record or a story, or, you know, it's just you're babysitting. They're not really evangelizing. And so just Google Child Evangelism Fellowship, get their material, you'll see the difference. And I don't know why I don't see it in every Sunday school. So my new journey is to be knocking on pastors' doors, showing them what they need for their Sunday school. At any rate, I'll end one other thing. When I had that one Bible club in my home, there was this boy who was the biggest, interrupter. He just got everybody going away from the city. It was so hard. I mean, my heart dropped when I saw him come in, but I knew he had to be there, but I knew this was going to be another battle. And it went on and on and on and on. Well, we moved, they moved. Years later, one of my teenage daughters was working in a restaurant as a waitress, and this grown-up boy was sitting there with his wife and his daughter. And he asked if I was still doing Bible club, and she said, yeah. Well, it wasn't a week later, he knocked on my door, And he came in and he told me how much he wanted to listen, but he couldn't let the other kids know he wanted to listen, and how he would just try to get every word. And now he wanted to bring his little girl up to know the Lord.
Oh, praise just, God. Beautiful.
Praise God.
Just amazing. At any rate, so getting to the books, I wrote two books. One was years ago, as I think it's like 12 years ago, Connect the Dots. That publisher went out of business. It's being republished, and it'll be out this month, I hear, Christian Faith Publishing. It's an amazing book, not because I wrote it, because I didn't write it. I just ordered it. I put it in order. But I was going to bed one night, and I went to turn off the kitchen light, and I saw a vision of the Bible standing up on its edge, and there was a golden thread just going from the beginning to the end. And the Lord said to me, I want you to put together the scriptures that tell this story. There's other stuff they can study, but they need to know the central core of the gospel. So I started doing that. That's why I said I didn't write it. It's probably 95% scripture with some notes. But I just took them and put them in order from God the Father, standing in the garden with his broken heart, knowing that Adam and Eve had to leave and what was going to follow, and right there forming the plan to bring them back. So it goes from Genesis and the garden all the way to Revelation and through the cross and resurrection, specifically all the prophecies and Jesus fulfilling the prophecies and why God did it. And it all boils down to his love. And so that'll be out again in a month. And that's my favorite book because I didn't write it. It's all scripture, but that's another thing I wish that the Sunday schools would push, because you have a new Christian and they say, okay, we're going to go to church and Sunday school. And okay, this month they're doing the book of James. Next month we'll do Zechariah and maybe we'll do 2 Timothy and all that. But it takes years for a new Christian to put all that together and make a picture and understand what this is happening and why. So this is ordered from the garden, why, where, when, how everything happened. And it ends in a glorious way in our lives.
Why don't you let us know what some of the titles are? You know, obviously you put them in the order that he gave them.
How to use it. His pain, his heart, his sacrifice, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, healing, faith, Jesus is God, the hidden man. There you go, the hidden places. The mm-hmm. hidden man's got all those hidden places and gifts and abilities and power just waiting to come out. Fear, Israel, the battles, and the epilogue. It explains the whole thing. But I really recommend of any book.
I would have loved to have that when I got saved.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
You know, I was just told, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow.
You yes, know, but don't tell anybody.
yeah, don't talk about it. But yes, no, they said, tell everybody about it. And I'm like, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's really
what
I meant.
So this is a great way to, get the full picture. I know for a long time that I had felt like I needed to make myself right in order to follow the Lord rather than the other way around. And your book has it from his perspective.
Exactly.
And so however I went wrong or got wrong teaching or received it wrong.
That's what we hear all the time. And people do it with great hearts. I mean, they're studying, they're preparing lessons, they're doing everything they can. But just not in order. It takes a long time to figure out. You know, I have a sister-in-law just told me the other day that she's just beginning to understand Moses, and she's been a real Christian a real long time. So anyway, that's what it is. But it's, I think, a wonderful, wonderful tool. My neighbor, she took the book, went away for a weekend. I'm not sure for what purpose, with her friend in a log cabin that they have. And that's all they did was read that out loud and study. And they just absolutely loved it. And they came home, you know, really changed. She still talks about it. And that was years ago. And again, I can't take any credit for that at all. It's just his word.
Well, you know, since I've known you, you know, all the conversations we have is always about the Father and the heart of the Father. That's all we talk about. When we can be on the phone for 2 hours. And that's what we're talking about, is his love and, you know, trying to discover new things and, you know, just one thing always leads to another. And it's always these fulfilling conversations.
It's
not trying to 10 ways to repent or 10 ways to do this or that.
Exactly. And that's what we go through hidden places again, because in the hidden places is the truth. That's the truth of who God is, or who Jesus is, why he came, what he accomplished for us, and how easy it is to receive him than to be having discussions about Bible studies and arguments and different belief systems and everything. And like I had said, empty me. I don't want a belief system. I just want a relationship. And I guess until this moment, I didn't realize how noticeable that was. But the Father got me long before Jesus did, if that makes sense. I know Jesus is the way to the Father, but I couldn't get out of that Old Testament seeing his heart and why Jesus came and seeing how determined the depth of his purpose and plan and having to suffer that way because it was for us. And it all came from the heart of the Father that brought Jesus and sent Jesus to us. So it was a long time before I graduated into Jesus in that sense, because I was in need of a father figure to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how he does that. The other book, From His Heart to Yours, like I said, he started speaking to me, and I would write it down and whatever. But then about 2 years, 3 years ago, I don't know. I remember I was sitting at my desk, and I was having a prayer time, and which I don't believe in prayer times anymore, where they should be every minute of our life in his presence. But there's times that you take where you're focused more, I suppose. But at any rate, I remember he gave me the silliest picture. And at this point, I don't remember exactly the first picture was, but it would be something silly, like one, and I know Karen's going to read it at the end, or I am, I don't know, but it's a picture I got the night before last, and it makes no sense at all. It'll be, like, in this sense, it's going to be a picture of a donkey with a man riding it, but being galloped and trying like a horse would, and trying to throw the man off.
But hold that thought. Let's go to a break, and we'll come back to hear about that.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to read that now.
Weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
With Pam Clunan, my friend and mentor, who's discussing her latest book, which that came out last year, the From His Heart to Yours, From the Father's Heart. And, you know, knowing how the Lord speaks to you, he speaks to us all differently, but he speaks to us, and you got to figure out how he does, and then just hang on to that, and don't let people sway you into their way of thinking. But you know, get with how he speaks to you so that he can be effective in your life and that you can be effective in your calling.
I love the way you put that, because everybody does hear from him differently. And when one person gives a testimony, then you think, well, I have to be like that, or I have to hear that way, or mm-hmm. I'm not doing this right, or something. And there isn't a right or wrong hearing from Jesus. You know, he lives in you. He breathes in you. He knows everything about you. He just wants to share it with you. And he's going to share it with you according to your personality, your needs, and his understanding of your needs. So when he started speaking to me in pictures, it was a puzzle because I was used to being dictated to, so to speak. But he would give me two crazy pictures, like a dog barking at the heels of somebody. And that's not even as silly as it was, but it's the only one I can think of. But at any rate, that was all I would get. And I would think, oh, well, this is just an interruption in my prayer time. And I would try to ignore it, and I'd still see the barking dog. And I didn't know, so I said, okay. And he would tell me to write it down. But only after I wrote the first two words would I get the word. If I didn't write it, and it happened again the other night, if I didn't write it, I'm not going to get the story. I'm not going to get what he has to say. I have to be in faith and write the most ridiculous picture I've seen. It makes no sense whatsoever. And what could there ever be said about this picture? But as soon as I wrote it, I would get all these words. And that's what's in from his heart to yours. And it's amazing to me, going back to the simplicity that's in Christ, is how Jesus starts that, how he feeds us according to what we're going to get. So my whole desire in being here today is to wake the body up and to say, God is speaking to you. He's dying to speak to you. You're the one that's not listening because you don't think he wants to speak to you, or you don't know how to listen, or you have to hear the way I hear. And I think that's why he gave me such crazy pictures, because to show that anybody can hear. I have a granddaughter. I don't know if you'll get this connection, but we do Bible Club, and when she was nine, we would have discussions like this, and she would say, I don't want stories, and she'd take her fist, I just want facts. and so she's learning to hear from God, but I know that hunger in her at 9 years old is to hear the truth. And I think Jesus prompted that question because he is the truth that lives in us, and that's what we're seeking, is the truth. So I guess my biggest exhortation today is to encourage people to listen to the truth that lives in them. Not argue with people, debate. It gets nowhere. All it does, someone might have a sharper mind or a better argument. Just look for the truth inside, and you will know. And follow your heart, not your mind. Bring your mind into submission to your heart, and you will come to know the truth in a much deeper way than you've experienced. Karen had shared that she had seen Jewel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Share what you saw.
For the program? When the Lord, because yeah, the Lord had given me the, you know, said, here, do a program. And I'm like, okay. So I, you know, in prayer, then the Lord showed me that each person has a big jewel that's inside of them. They have many jewels, but he wants to go, the big jewel is him. He's the prize. He's the thing of value. He's all that's of value in us. And that he wants to bring out those jewels out of each one. And even though you think you may not have anything, if he put it in you, you have something. And that is his nature. And he wants to reveal his nature, you know, in these hours, in these last days. You know, the world is getting darker and darker, and we need to let the light shine brighter and brighter. And I just feel as though there are many in the body, like Pam, you talked about earlier, that they don't even know. They don't think they have anything. They don't know what their gifts are. It's not so much, you know, what are your gifts? It's, are you surrendered to the Lord? And are you, excuse me, allowing him to define your life? Just as you have done, Pam, over the years, and the Lord always gave you a picture. And when we were at the healing rooms, that was the first thing I noticed about Pam. Every time we went in the room to pray for somebody, she would tell the person, well, you know, I'm getting this picture. And some of it was like off the wall, and you're thinking, you know, what is that about? But then as soon as she said it, the person would break down crying because it meant something to the person. And that's, you know, a word of knowledge, you know, that God cares intimately about your life and everything about you. And I know for me, just knowing that he's already got my life planned out. I just need to get in line with him and learn how he speaks to me and just trust and obey him in that. And I, for many years, that was very difficult, and it's still difficult in a lot of ways. But that's really all it boils down to. I think we're just here to learn to trust him and just do what he's asking us, not do what other people are telling us that they think we should do.
Amen.
Exactly.
But really just going with what he has put in our hearts.
Exactly. And the jewel you saw within one of my first pictures, that wasn't a silly picture, but I saw people sitting in an auditorium, and there was a speaker there, but underneath the seat of every single chair was a jewel, and it was a different jewel, and different colors, bright emeralds, and all different colors, and it was a picture where the Lord was saying, they're not doing, living their call, they're not operating the way, you know, I've called them to operate, but we were never taught to operate.
It's true.
at any rate, so getting back to the silly pictures, they always started with faith, being faithful to trust that he had a purpose in this, and to get rid of enough of your own personality and to humble yourselves and say, well, this is what I see and this is what I hear, and discover the great things that he has. The thing that gets me, and the phrase that strikes me most in this, we think it's pride to operate in our gifts. The devil will use that against us all the time. Oh, you know, somebody said you did this well, you did that well. And yeah, it's God, you did do it well because God lives in you and he's doing it. So accept it and praise him for it.
Amen.
Let the devil rob you of the pleasure of doing it by accusing you of being proud when actually you're just displaying the Lord. And that leads me into the difference between obedience and disobedience, because if we disobey, we can't expect Jesus is going to join us there with his power and help us disobey in this little U-turn we took or detour we took. But when we were acting in obedience, and that includes using the gifts that God has given you the unction to do that you're afraid to do, but being courageous enough to not care what you look like, but just to care what Jesus is doing through you and in you, then you've really got the power of the blessing of obedience. That's really all I have to say about that. I wanted to end with, you're going to read that?
Yes, yeah, the word that you got the
other
day.
Here's an example of donkey. Do you have it over there?
That was the picture.
Okay, while I'm looking for that, I'm just going to add one thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, this was only day before yesterday, and it just kind of goes so well with what the message seems to be today. But I'm in the middle of moving into a house. I'm moving out of the old into the new. Everything's a mess, and Jesus is there with me, but I'm very busy. Okay, so I said, Lord, I just long to hear from you, and I'm so sorry I'm doing so many other things. And he saw me. He showed me a picture of a donkey with a man riding on the donkey being bucked off like a rodeo, or what do they call them?
Yeah, bucking bronco.
Yeah, bucking bronco. There you go.
But from a donkey.
And I said, okay, this is just exhaustion from the move, and this is just, you know, not the Lord. And he said, well, aren't you going to write it down? And I said, okay. So I stopped what I was doing, and I got a pad, and I said, I saw a donkey with a man. And that was the beginning of the word. And he said, I saw a donkey trying to buck a man off. Why? Because those that are usually calm and slow are going to get a bumpy ride. It will be a challenging time because they are so used to not participating in the work of my spirit. But now my Holy Spirit is going to start to shake things up. Everyone has a call, a purpose, and the giftings to accomplish their assignment. The problem is, everyone is still sitting on the slow-moving donkey without thought of what their part in my body is. Well, get ready. for my spirit is going to cause great discomfort to their easy ride. He is going to shake them up, get them off, get them active, and discover their personally assigned ministry. They all feel they are just along for the ride. They just haven't realized that they have an important part to play. So look to the heart. Look to the hurts you want to heal. Look to the sick you want to see made well. Look to the testimony of your own walk and the desires to do what you are afraid to do. Fear will have to bow in failure and take its lies and discouragement back to its fiery dwelling. Light is coming, power is flowing, and love will bring the truth. Get off or get bumped off, but it's time to get off the donkey.
Oh. Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
And that word, which is current for today, is very, you know, indicative of your book, you know, from his heart to yours. Mm. You know, the writings that you have, you have a picture and then the explanation is right there. And this book is amazing because you can just flip through and just read, you know, just one of the titles, From Believing to Knowing. Stop Raising What's Dead. The Fruit of Praise. And these are all just, you know, one page little snippets that the Lord has given Pam. But why don't you talk about how you came about writing this book? But I just want to say, Pam used to send me, like what she just sent about the donkey, you know, a couple of years ago. She would send me these words. I'm like, oh, this is great. Where'd you get it? And she said, I wrote it.
And you said, well, why don't you put them in a book and then I can have it at my fingertips?
And she did just that. Yeah. But, yeah, because every couple of days she would send something. I'm like, where is this coming from? And, you know, I just thought you were, like, online, you know, gathering up all these great words and stuff. But the Lord was giving them to you, and that was out of your study of the tabernacle. Oh. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. Let's go to the break, and then we'll come back and do that.
But thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy king.
Amen. All right, now I was going to ask you about the tabernacle, but I really want to know why this is your favorite song.
It's my favorite song because nothing can come about in our relationship if we're not walking together. And so when I hear that song, it just makes me realize that every breath I take is with him. Every thought I have is either one of love, understanding, kindness, or correction. And that I have to be with him, listening to him, hearing him, following his moves, and getting into things that he's leading me to do in order to accomplish anything. And if we just read our Bibles and have a prayer time that's limited by a certain length of time. And we do all the good things and the right things, but we're not walking with Him. We're not accomplishing anything. And that's basically.
Amen. Amen. And Dan, you had something that you wanted to.
Well, when Pam was sharing about the Father captured her heart before mm-hmm. Jesus, my experience was the same way. I had come to the Lord in 95, and I think it was in 96, beginning in 96. My parents were divorced for years, and there was some issues with them selling a property. And I was very upset with my dad, and I was just praying and sitting in my car praying in front of my apartment, and I heard the Lord just say, "Call me Daddy God." And I just started crying. I don't know what that means, because to me, daddy was a bad word. Like, my parents fought, they argued, my dad was very rough and gruff, and he wasn't loving at all. So to me, I always wanted a gentle father, I always wanted a gentle daddy, and I never had that. And when God told me, "Call me Daddy God," I'm like, what does that mean? He said, "I know you, I love you, I'll never hurt you, I'll never abandon you, I'll always provide, I'll always protect," and He's just downloading this to me, and I'm just like taking it all in. And that was the moment that He captured my heart, and I knew that I could look to Him 100% of the time and know that He had me. He had me safe in His hand, and He knew me. And I went in the house, and He actually had me write a letter to my father. Had me, like you, God always told me from that time, from 1995, 96, told me, pick up your pen and pad. So I would just download what He would give me. So He had me pen a letter to my father, and it was from way back to current. And I read it, and I'm like, I am not giving Him that letter. And God said, "It's not your letter, it's my letter." And He had me give that letter to my dad the next time I saw him. We didn't see each other for 10 months. And then he ended up in the hospital with pneumonia. And he died 3 months later. Mm-hmm. But that letter, from what my stepmother told me, that letter really touched his heart from God the Father to my father. And my father ended up accepting the Lord in the hospital before he left. And the day he died, my whole family was going to church that Wednesday night. And as we walked in and we're going to the back room for the pastor to comfort and pray with us, the Holy Spirit put in my heart, Grandma Skidmore, which was my father's mother, she prayed for him all her life. Then my mother prayed for him. Then I prayed for him. The torch was kind of passed on. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Grandma Skidmore is rejoicing because he made it." And whew, what a consolation that, like you said, we have to obey. It's not about us. We're just the vessel. And I had to obey and give my father that letter that God penned through me to my dad. And as a result, he prepared my father's heart to be saved and to be with him in eternity. So I love Abba Father. I love Jesus too, but God captured my heart. And I love Father, Son, Holy Spirit now.
Amen. You know, and I was thinking about that earlier, because myself too, I tend to always pay attention to the Father. And, you know, we know that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And but I know I have the tendency to hear the Father speaking. And I too, Pam, Old Testament. You know, I'm constantly in the Old Testament, Isaiah and the prophets, and, you know, just hearing God's heart in mm-hmm. throughout the Old Testament. Mm. And, yeah, pretty awesome. We have a great Father. We have a great God. And, you know, and even like Pam, you have such a heart for children and, you know, to teach the children about the Father. You know, and that's really what it's all about, I think, because yeah. God wants His family. And, you know, I just had this silly thought about, you know, the used car sale, the used car salesman, or even a car dealer. You know, they want you to come and trade in your cars. You know, push them in, pull them in, drag them in. You know, bring in your old vehicles so I can give you a new one. You know, and that's what I feel like the Lord is calling all of us back to Him, calling us back to the Father, you know, for His love, His protection. And I think there's many people that don't know Him as Father. They know Jesus, they know the Holy Spirit, but yet have really maybe never felt the touch of the Father. And just pray that you will experience that today.
Yeah. And get the picture of the Father standing in the garden with a broken heart, wanting His children back. And everything He's done from then until now to bring our children back.
Amen.
And like He did with Deanne in the car. It's just amazing to me that we have missed so much. We've made so many laws and rules and quote-unquote answers to questions that we could never, because we can never imagine the depth of His heart to even put words on it. You know, I think that's why we have the gift of tongues, you know, mm-hmm. so we can pray. But
you know, I don't know if I had shared this on my program, or maybe I was just telling someone, but I won't say it was a vision, but I had a picture of that I was in my parents' bedroom. And, you know, it was just flooded with light. And, you know, I could see the two windows. And this was the house I grew up in. Saw the two windows, the dresser, and then the tall dresser. And it was like I was sitting on the bed just kind of looking. But I'm like, oh, there's nothing in the room. There's no pictures hanging. There's no decorations. There's nothing on top of the dressers. It was just that. It was the room. And I heard the Lord say, before I formed you in your mother's womb, you know, I knew you. And that, you know, He was telling me He was there in that room where I was conceived before I even was. And that, wow. That just brought me so much comfort. And so it also frees me from the things of the earth and being tied down to, you know, the things in life that don't matter. What matters is Him. And what matters is that our lives are surrendered to Him and that we're living to the fullest of what He's given us.
Mm.
And, you know, and that freedom is available to all of us. We don't need to claw our way out. You know, He lifted us out of that pit. He drew us out. But yet some have decided to stay there, or maybe they don't see a way out. But open your eyes and see that the Father is there to bring you back to Himself through Jesus.
Most people I've experienced that hesitate to turn to the Lord just because they feel so unworthy that God couldn't want them. That's their biggest fear that I've run into. It's not just unbelief. I'm unworthy. I'm going to hide it in unbelief.
Yes.
You know, and it's that amazing, His heart. That's why I love the picture of Him in the garden. Because you don't need any other words. It's just a Father's broken heart. It's calling His children back.
Amen. And I believe the move of God right now, He's spoken to me over the last couple of years, is going to be the love-olution.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a love-olution. He's given me that word 3 or 4 different times in words. It's going to be about the love of the Father.
Amen.
And the world needs to understand, the heart of man needs to understand the unconditional, everlasting, eternal, unending, unfailing. And that's hard for us to comprehend. I know I felt the same way. Unworthy, dirty. How could you ever forgive me? How could you ever want me? How could you ever love me, God? Look at what I've done. And how many people feel that way?
Amen.
But He is love. It's not what He does. God is love. And He wants to bring that love-olution and that revelation of love that is going to transform. It's the goodness and love of God that draws men to repentance.
That's right. And yeah, like you're saying, He's in the garden. I see Him just looking out going, hello, hello, I'm here.
Right.
You know, the enemy has blinded the minds of unbelievers and some believers too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just, Pam, why don't you just pray for us as we get ready to close,
okay.
You know, that the Lord would open hearts and minds.
Father. Wow, Father, to sit here together and know that we have one Father. And to all who are listening, take a moment and breathe that thought in. We all have the same Father. We've received Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know the Father. And we answer his call. And we pray, Father, for all those who don't believe, for all those who feel unworthy, for all those who don't even care at this point. I love that word, lovolution. Lord, pour out your love in such a mighty, powerful way, in ways so deep that nobody can even understand what the change is that's happening within them. But they are turning, and they are turning to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your truth. And I pray for an outpouring of your truth as never before, that every lie will be dispelled and your glory will be revealed and change all our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've only got about 30 seconds. Deanne, can you read your word in 30 seconds?
30 seconds. The Lord gave me this in worship on Sunday. Hold fast, unshakable, immovable, be rooted and grounded in my word, my love, my solid ground. Be my oaks of righteousness, standing strong and tall, not bending or breaking under the storms of circumstances in life. Look to me, trust me, rely and depend on me every minute, hour, and day. I am with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Pam, thank you so much for coming. And I know you'll have to come back again because we just had like a little teeny bit of some of the conversations that we could have.
I know. And we should just record the conversations.
I know, yeah. Our 2 hours and we'll break them up. But again, thank you so much for coming. And if anybody wants to know the titles of Pam's book or want any information, you can just call me here at the station, 772-221-1100. And that's it for today. Thank you so much. God bless you all. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Karen.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
Slain for us is a lion ready to roar, and his heart beats.